Father, as always, I thank you because before the day was, you already were there. You knew everything. You knew the outcome of this day. And we thank you, Lord, that you have positioned us in you to be more than conquerors. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord. I declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even now, so let it be. In the name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise. Thy word is like a hammer, a breakthrough things. Hallelujah. Now, we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, the theme of our consecration, this next 3 days is going to be about, opening the gates and cutting asunder the bars. I want to talk about gates and bars and barriers and different things today. First of all, what is a gate or what is a barrier? The dictionary defines a gate as an opening in a barrier or a fence. It has a hinge, you can swing it open to get through it and stuff like that. The barrier, though, on the other hand, is, barrier can be like a roadblock or something. It's an obstruction in the path of progress. People put up a gate so you don't get in there. People put up a barrier, a roadblock, even construction crew, when they are working on out on the roads, they put a barrier so you don't go through there. If they don't want you to go through, and they put up something that prevents your passage. Well, think of those kinds of things during this consecration period. There are things that the enemy has put up, the roadblocks, the barriers, the gates, the bars, what's a bar? Sometimes people that are put behind in prison, they call them, they are behind bars. That's an expression that's used for prison. Is that someone is behind bars? That means they can't get out. They're locked up against their own will. So these bars, these gates, these barriers and different things, they are designed to keep people hemmed in, jammed in, boxed in, in prison, if you like, to put it that way. They cannot have their freedom. They cannot exercise freedom. Put in one place and confined behind bars and so on. Well, what does the Lord have to say about gates and bars, keep us in and so forth? Now, think of it this way, you're believing the Lord for something. But there's some stuff, that's preventing you from getting through, to claim the answer of peace. I mean, there's always something that's going to block you. Sometimes it could be deliberate forces that are against you. Sometimes it could be, lack of understanding on our part. That's why we always read the Word of God. We always declare the Word of God so that we can gain understanding. As it is written, the entrance of your word, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We quote that every day. Psalm 119 and verse 130. So we need understanding. We have to understand these things. But I want to declare the Word of God today regarding gates, barriers, bars, fences, and the like, preventing our passage, so let's talk about it. Let's see what the Lord has to say about that. Praise the Lord. We start off from Isaiah, chapter 26. And the Lord makes a declaration for us. You know, and also remember that the Lord has his own special forces. And he has given them instruction to do certain things. So, here's what we say. We speak it in the name of the Lord, in the message of the Lord to everyone that's here today. Isaiah 26 and verse 1. In that day, such as today, well, you will sing this song in the land of Judah. Well, sing this song on walking with God. You know, we have a strong city. We have a strong stay in the Lord. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Our own walls are salvation. They are not imprisonment. Open ye the gates. That's a commandment. And we are going to open those gates by the force of spiritual arms. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation may go in and the people of the Lord may go in and enter. You know, the people that keep truth, they may enter in. Hallelujah. You know, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, because he trusteth in the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever. When the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's right. And the Lord has declared this. It's like our commander in chief has said something about these gates. And, you know, let's follow his voice. My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice and they follow me. Well, you know, the command that Lord is giving us today and the next few days is that the gates must be open. That every one of us that keepeth the truth must go through. Praise the Lord. Let me give you a few more scriptures. Every declaration that we are making in this room today and through this consecration has to be based on the word of God. Can't just make any declaration. But the Lord has said it. Isaiah 45, you know, verse, let's start it at verse 2. Hallelujah. In fact, I read it from verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed. You can put your name there. You know, his right hand I have holding up. You know, he said, you know, God even said to Jeremiah, I put you up to, you know, judge kingdoms. You know, be over the kingdoms to pull down, to throw down, to destroy, to root out. You know, he put you there over nations, subdue nations. You know, scripture says that we are seated in Christ in heavenly places above principalities and powers. You know, subdue nations, loose the loins of kings, and to open, and this is the part that I want to do, the Lord wants us to do in this consecration, by the power of the Lord, open the gates, hallelujah, and let the righteous nation go in, as a commandment, you know, and the gates shall not be shut. Open it, and it will not be shut. Praise the Lord. You know, one time Jesus, he sent out his disciples and he said to them in Matthew chapter 10 and other places, in Luke 10 as well, he sent out his disciples. And this is the way he gave them commandment. He said, as you go, Matthew 10 and 7, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So first you preach, then you heal the sick, then you cleanse the lepers, and you raise the dead, you cast out devils, and all of those things must accompany your preaching. So there's already authority given to us as we preach the word to do these other things, you know, to accompany the preaching of the word. Give them commandment. And so this is not exactly, you know, us pleading that the gates will be open. This is not all us, you know, begging that the bars will be shattered. No. And take authority over these things. I'm going to use the power of authority that God has given us. Power of attorney. To act in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to use it. You know, back to Isaiah 45. He said, look, I will go before thee. Ha! Glory to God. You know, once you know that the Lord has said these things, well, exercise yourself in the same. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. I will cut and sunder the bars of iron. That's it right there. The Lord already said it. You know, hallelujah. Furthermore, treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places, the Lord give to you. Well, that means, you know, knowledge of the deeps of how to get things, accomplish things that people don't even know. You know, and he said that you may know. The reason he does it that way is so that you may know that I, the Lord, call thee by thy name, I'm the God of Israel. Praise the Lord. You know, here is another commandment that the Lord has given, and the Holy Spirit has given to me as well. You know, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, and reading from verse 10. That's what the Lord said, and this is what we're doing. You know, he said, go through. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. You know, one time, you know, the ark was borne by the priests, and they were commanded, and then crossing over the Jordan to try to get to the promised land, they said, well, the priests must go before, right? Carry the ark, go before the people, and as soon as their feet would touch, you know, the water, the whole thing will part. Hallelujah. So, well, when you are in that role of the priest, well, you got to do as he says. Go before the people. You know, so if you say the people must, you know, consecrate themselves before the Lord, then you do it. And you do it before, you know, and you come into the gates. And you come through the gates. Hallelujah. You come up against the gates, rather, I wanted to say. And then you go through the gates. And then you prepare a way for the people. And I believe that, spiritually speaking, I passed through the gates already. And I'm inviting you to come on through. Praise the Lord. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up and cast up a highway. Gather out the stones and lift up a standard for the people of the Lord. Because the Lord hath proclaimed even to the end of the world. He says to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work is before him. And they shall be called, you will be called, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, that shall be called sought out, a people not forsaken. Praise the Lord. Sometimes some people think that they are forsaken. They think theirs is a lost cause, you know, but the Lord said, I am the Lord that remembers you and even sees you. You know, when Hagar was cast out, yeah, she was in the desert all alone. And she thought within herself that today is the day that she's going to die. But the Lord, the angel of the Lord said, I see you. Praise the Lord. There are many people that have been at their wit's end. The widow at Zarephath. It was her last day, she thought. Gathering a couple of sticks. Make her last meal, you know, eat it, embrace her son, and just wait to die. That's what she thought. But the Lord had other things in mind. Praise the Lord. And every time that we think, you know, Father, you know, scripture says, well, you know, people think that, you know, their way is freed from the Lord. The Lord has forgotten them. You know, what did the Lord say about people who think, you know, that the Lord has forgotten them? You know, what did he say? Well, think about it. I'm asking you a question. The Lord said, well, can a nursing mother, you know, forget a child? That's what he said. You know, let me read it to you in Isaiah 49 and see what the Lord says. You know, because sometimes when we think that the Lord has forgotten us, and the Lord knows all those things that we are thinking. And the devil, oh yes, he's always busy trying to tell people that the Lord has forgotten them. Yeah. So, well, let's read from, I want to read something of joy to you from Isaiah 49 and verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and he will have mercy on his afflicted. So if you think you're afflicted, I'm going to read something else to you in a minute. But Zion said, well, the Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten my situation. Yeah, sometimes it feels like that. You know, especially when you've been praying about the same thing over and over again, and you've tried multiple things, you know, what you know to try, what others have suggested. It may be a health situation or other things in nature. You tried whatever, you know, science has suggested and so forth. It doesn't work. And so you may think that God, has forgotten you. And here's the question that the Lord would ask. Because people said, the Lord has forsaken me and the Lord has forgotten me. Well, can a woman, the Lord said, forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Can she do it? Maybe. You know, if they are careless, you know, they may forget. Jesus said, you know, the Lord says here that, well, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Now, this is a powerful thing, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord will never forget you. Behold, I have graven you in the palms of my hands. Walls continually before me. These things that got you jammed up, hemmed in, those gates and those barriers. And before me, the Lord says, I'll take care of it. Praise God. You know, so what you need to do is have confidence in the fact that the Lord said that he will never forget you. You know, he'll never forget you. And you know, even in nature, naturally, God teaches us a lot of things through women and childbirth and so forth. You know, women, I mean, they are graced with that, you know, there's that compassion, you know, for the child of their womb. The Lord, you know, is trying to tell us that, look, I myself have born you like children of my womb. Sing, he says in Isaiah 54, O barren, that thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than of the married wives, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. For children are coming, you know, enlarge, you know, and so forth. Listen to this in verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither will thou be confounded. Thou shalt not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Thou shalt forget, you know, the years of shame shall not remember. Keep your mics turned off because it's causing an echo. Fear not, thou shalt not be ashamed, neither will thou be confounded. Thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. Thou shalt not remember the reproach, even of thy widowhood. You know, even people have lost one thing or the other. Thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. Even thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in the spirit. When you think you are forsaken, when you think the Lord has not answered, well, I said, think again. I'll be right there. Now, I don't know why things linger. One thing I do know, though, that there are gates, you know, that try to prevent you from passing through. And there are barriers and fences and walls and things that the devil has put up. And those things must come crashing down. Wall of Jericho, you know, must come crashing down. We're going to bring these things down by the grace of the Lord. Now, in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16, yeah, I'm just giving you some promises to hold on to. And these are the things that we're going to use to declare the opening of the gates and the breaking of the bars and the changing of your story. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, you know, and verse 16, the Lord said, even the blind, I'm going to change their story. I'll lead them in paths they have not known. Hallelujah. Make even darkness before them to become like light. You know, that's, if you're vision impaired and all those things, the Lord is going to give some breakthrough, even in these consecration time that we're in, because we found these things in the scriptures. Jesus says, search the scriptures, you know, for they are they that testify of me. You know, we search the scriptures, we found something. Even the scribes in those days, they knew how to exercise themselves in searching the scriptures. And they say, well, search the scriptures and find, tell us where the Christ will be born. You know, Herod might say something like that. Then they go search. They will find something in Micah that says, you know, Bethlehem shall be the place. You know, how to search the scriptures. We've spoken about that at length in this platform, on this platform. Always search the scriptures so that you would know what the Lord said is going to do for you. Praise the Lord. Now, there are many examples in the Bible of breaking gates and opening doors by the hand of the Lord. There are also other scriptures that talk about making your paths to be straight. And so these are all the things that we're going to be doing during this time. We just want you to be engaged. And, don't let anything distract you. Because if you are here, be here. If you are here and you are not here, you might miss something. You know, and then what good will it be then? The path of the righteous is as a shining light. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. Shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You know, and these, you know, there is a declaration also that the scripture makes in the book of Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 18. We're going to invoke this also at this time. Surely there is an end. You know, all this, you know, even people, sometimes when they are in bars, there's a hope that their sentence will be commuted. There's a hope that, you know, they will be set at liberty. Well, it's more than a hope when you found the word of the Lord to support that. But that's prisoners of hope, you know. So let's believe the Lord together. There's an end to this thing, your expectation. It's a little more than just hope. Expecting it, you know it's going to happen. That's what expectation is. You know, your expectation, what does it say about your expectation? Well, will not be cut off. Your expectation shall not be cut off. God is going to bring that to pass for you. Many scriptures, many promises like that. Well, let's talk about, you know, I love the book of Isaiah when it comes to just, you know, psyching myself up for, you know, things and so forth. Isaiah, you know, chapter 43, again, talks to you about how God can make a way for you even when you think there's no way. Some people, your situation may be economic strangulation. That's what I call it. You know, but whatever it is, at this time, we're going to believe the Lord together. Praise the Lord. Behold, the Lord says, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You know, that means when things are all dried up, and when you think there is no way, God said, well, I'll make a way. I can do it. Praise the Lord. Well, the question is, believest thou this, that the Lord is able to do it? We're going to look to the Lord, not to anybody. Even if the Lord would use somebody, you know, we're looking to the Lord. We're not looking to somebody. God can use any means he wants to meet our needs, but our eyes must be on the Lord himself. Praise the Lord. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 4 and 5, you know, how that he can actually change your situations again. Here's another perspective. He said, every valley shall be exalted. You know, that means when you are in the valley, well, you know, God can, you know, raise you up, level, you know, make things come higher that were low, you know. Every mountain and hill, you know, they can think of those as blockers. You know, usually you can't scale the mountains and usually you can't get around them. They block your way. Well, Lord said, I'll bring them down. And even in your low estate, the Lord will raise you up. I mean, so in this one verse, it has all kinds of dimensions. You know, the Lord will remember you in your low estate. He will bring you up. The Lord will bring down the things that are hindrances to you. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Make even the rough places, will make them plain. Will make the crooked places to be straight. That's how, you know, that's how God will change your story. Something that's crooked will make it straight. Something that's rough will make it smooth. Hallelujah. Something that's blocking you will break it down. When you are low, he'll raise you up. He will do all these things. It's all in included inside these two verses, Isaiah 40, verses 4 and 5. You check it out and meditate upon it. God is able to do these things and to change your story for the better. Praise the Lord. Now, sometimes we must also be determined. You got to be determined. When you're trying to, you know, obtain your breakthrough, your blessing, your healing, the miracle. You know, it just looks like there's no way. What do you do? Now, there's a story in Mark chapter 2. It's also in another place, but in Mark chapter 2, you know, these people were, I mean, there was a a man that needed to be healed, and his friends were trying to help him get to Jesus, but they couldn't, you know, because there were so many people. The crowd was very large, jammed into the house, and they couldn't get through. And, they're saying, make way. Nobody's going to make way. Everybody wants to be the one to get the miracle. So nobody's going to make way. You know, we see also in this story is in Mark. The story, is in Luke. You know, it's also in Luke chapter 5. You know, power of the Lord present to heal. It actually says it in that place. So they brought to him a man that was in the stretcher, so to speak. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, well, the Bible says they went through the roof. So when the door is blocked and you can't find the keys, well, or you can't find a way through, maybe you have to go through the roof. I don't know. But the thing is, are you determined, you know, to, you know, get through somehow to get your blessing, you know? You keep your head up and don't give up and don't, you know, and get through it somehow. You know, if you try one thing doesn't work, well, try something else. But keep on believing that one way or another, you know, this roadblock that you are facing, well, you're going to get around it. I've talked about roadblocks before. I said, oh, a roadblock, you know, is intended for you to make sure you don't get through that particular road. Put a roadblock on. Sometimes they'll be kind enough to show you where the detour might be. So go this way and go that way and so forth. Bypass all that and then join later on in someplace ahead. And, you know, sometimes they may not tell you. You just get there and find that the road is blocked. Well, what do? You're trying to get to someplace and you find that the road is blocked. What do then? Do you just stay there? Because, I mean, there's nobody in their right mind going somewhere, gets to a place, the road is blocked, and just stay there. So while the road is blocked, that means I cannot continue. Is there anybody that does that? No. They're going to turn around, turn aside, find a way around the thing, because they are determined to get to where they're going. You know, even things that we do, you know, unconsciously, our subconscious teaches us even lessons of faith. Nobody's going to say just because I made the roadblock, that means I'm not going. I just find another way. We just do it without thinking about it. Well, think about it when it comes to spiritual things and so forth. When you are believing God and the devil spiritually is blocking your prayer, that's a roadblock. Well, are you going to just be, you know, stay right there and give up and say, well, I can't go because the road is blocked? Nobody does that. You find another way. You get to where you're going. You're not going to let some roadblock prevent you from getting to where you're going. You know, so same way, we can't let the roadblock and so forth, an obstacle, an obstruction in the path, you know, for our progress. Can't let those things block you. Got to keep moving and find some other way. Praise the Lord. And at times, you need knowledge to be able to find some other way. And the Holy Spirit will guide you. Psalm 32 and verse 8, I will guide you. I will instruct you the way that you go. When one way is blocked, well, I will guide you with my eye. I'll tell you where you should go. You know, Lord said he would do that. You know, when you get to crossroads, praise the Lord, you get to crossroads. Well, what will the Lord do? Is, you know, Lord already promised that he will guide you. And, you know, you will even hear a voice behind your ears that he said in Isaiah 30 and verse 21. When you get to a crossroads and you don't know, you know, at the crossroads, you know, which way to go, left or right, or just stay there. Which one are you going to do? Well, lean upon the Lord and he will show you. He said, I will even give you a voice behind your ears that will tell you this is the way. You know, God will guide you. But in either case, you got to keep moving forward. You cannot stay in a place just because of, you know, setbacks or roadblocks and not keep moving forward. Well, you know, sometimes you have to take a daring attitude like David. You know, David had some amazing testimonies. He's not going to let anything, you know, keep him from going to where what he wants, you know. Let's read some of his daring, you know, things that he did. You know, he would not, nothing was going to stop him. It wouldn't matter what the roadblock or the obstacle or what have you was. He's going to get through it one way or the other. In Psalm 18 and verse 29, he said, for by my, you know, by thee, I have run through a troop. Huh. And by my God, I've leaped over a wall. I love that attitude. You know, it's like, look, if I'm going somewhere and you're trying to block my way, I'm either going to bulldoze you down and get around it somehow, but you're not going to stop me. I'm getting through. Open ye the gates. Let the righteous nation go through. Go through. Go through. I mean, there's so many things that the Lord had told us. I'm going to leap over the wall. I'm going to bulldoze the thing. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's not, I'm unstoppable in the name of the Lord. I can't, nothing, he said. You know, I mean, this was his posture. There were so many things around him. Listen to how he said it in Psalm 118. He said, all nations compass me about, verse 10. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. It doesn't matter to him. They compass me about. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You know, no matter what comes against you. He said, they compass me about like bees, but they are quenched as the fire of thorns. And in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Say, look, my enemy has thrust sword at me. You know, but the Lord helped me. And the Lord is my strength and song, become my salvation. You know, and so forth. I mean, this man was so confident in the things of the Lord. In Psalm 27, he said, look, when the Lord is with me, there's nothing else that I need to be afraid of. You know, the Lord is with me. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Yeah, he said, my enemies, you know, put up a roadblock and put up all these things, come up against me to eat up my flesh, whatever it is, I stumbled and fell. You know, that's a powerful testimony. What is your testimony? Do you know and do you believe that God will make anything that come up against you to fall and stumble? That's right. He said, they stumbled and fell. The host should encamp around me. You know, my heart should not fear. War should rise up against me. In this will I be confident. I don't care what it is. Now come up against me. Because, you know, this man, young man, David, was a fighter. You know, he'd been trained, you know, trained in the wilderness. Trained, you know, when we're keeping sheep. Trained, you know, fight the lion, fight the bear, and all these things. So, trained. He knew. You know, what the Lord can do, the victory that the Lord can give him. He didn't never back down from anything. I don't care whether you're Goliath or anything like that. Blessed be the Lord, my strength. Psalm 144 and verse 1. Teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Well, make it your feet like hinds feet as well. You know, you can run through troops, leap over walls, break down barriers, open gates. Even your voice can open gates. You know, they even have voice prints today in technology. They can use that as a key, you know, to open a door, and your voice print. I'm used. Well, what is your voice print? Does your voice carry the word of the Lord? Psalm 103 verse 20. Does your voice carry God's word? If it does, there is something that can happen if you know the right words to speak. You know, if you know the right things to say, that door might just open. Hallelujah. You know, so let's believe the Lord. That's what we're going to do in this time. We're not going to let distresses and things like that keep us down. You know, David, he knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. There's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 30, the first 6 verses. Story at Ziklag. I lost everything. You know, they were out fighting alongside the Philistines. Amalekites came in there and took everything they had. You know, burnt everything down, carried away their wives and children. And they lamented until there was no strength in them. They cried. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, so my soul, why thou disquieted within me? You know, in Psalm 42, he said it. You know, why thou troubled? I will trust in the Lord, will be the light of my help. His countenance shall help me. And so on and so forth. I mean, he strengthened himself in the Lord. Here's the commandment that the Lord giving to us. And we find that, you know, the children of Israel experienced the same thing. At one time, they were in behind bars, and all kinds of things were happening to them. Pharaoh tormenting them and so forth. Well, as if that was not enough, even when the Lord finally got them out of there, there was no place to go. Come up against the Red Sea. And it's like, wow, there is no place to go now, you know. And the devil, you know, Pharaoh, the devil that was in him, said, well, I got you where I want you. I'm going to finish you off. You know, because, you know, see, there's no place for you to go now. You know, and say, well, you know, this is the last day, Pharaoh thought, that he was going to destroy all of them. But the Lord turned those very words around upon him. Moses told the people, you know, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, for the Egyptians that you see today, you know, you will see them no more. And while the people were still there thinking, you know, how in the world are we going to get through this Red Sea? The Lord said, go forward. You know, don't just because you see the Red Sea there, don't think that that's the end. You know, because that's what the devil thought. You know, said, well, I got you boxed in. You know, I'm going to finish you off. Well, you can't finish off the people of the Lord. No way. God always has a plan. Thank you, Jesus. And God always has something to do. And in Exodus 14 and 15, the Lord said, tell the people to go forward. Well, how can we go forward? The Red Sea is in front of us. Pharaoh is behind us. And I said, go forward anyway. Praise the Lord. You know, that is how God wants us to tackle situations, doors, gates, barriers, and different things you need to go through. He said, go through. Yeah, you need to go through. Well, but there is a gate that's blocking. No, so I said, no, go through. See, as long as you stand there looking at the Red Sea, it will continue to be the Red Sea. That's right. But those Red Sea moments that you face, they will continue. There will continue to be a Red Sea there until you determine in your mind to go forward. I'm not going to let, look, I don't care if there's a Red Sea. I don't care if, you know, David said, I don't care if it's nations around me. I don't care if it's troops. I don't care if it's walls. I run through troops. I leap over wall. I go through Red Sea on dry ground or whatever. Praise the Lord. I mean, the people of God need to have this militant attitude. You know, don't just, you know, sit back and let the devil, you know, have a field day. No, we have the power. Praise the Lord. The power over these things. The Lord has said it to us and given us the power. Praise the Lord. And so today, I'm going to come against some gates and some bars. I said all those things just to encourage you, you know, that even outside of this room, you yourself will walk in that victory with your head up. That's right. Keep your head up. Let your head be bowed down. You're a daughter of the King already. And a son of God. You know, put our sheets on your head. No. You know. And when the Lord turns your captivity around, well, the thing that's been a problem, well, the psalmist said, well, we're like them that dreamt. Lord turned our captivity. There was a woman also, you know, there was captivity for her. It was a captivity of negativity, you know, and everything that, you know, her adversary said against her. There were two of them married to the same man. And the other one was able to have a child, and she couldn't. You know, her name was Hannah, you know, and married to this Elkanah. And she couldn't have a child, you know, it looked like. And her adversary, we're told, you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6. Her adversary also provoked her soul to make her fret because the Lord has shut up her womb. And then this is so year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord and provoked her. And she wept, could not eat. And, you know, her husband said, why weepest thou? You know, and so forth. Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? No. You know, the woman wants her son, you know, don't tell her anything like that. You know, but this woman went in the bitterness of her spirit, you know, and went to the house of the Lord and prayed and said, Lord, I vow a vow. If you will give me a man, a child, I'll lend it back to the Lord all the days of his life. While she was there praying before the Lord and so forth, she was praying in her heart. Her mouth was moving, but not no words were actually coming out. Eli saw her, thought that, you know, she was crazy or drunken. How long, he said, will you be drunken? And I'll put away that wine from you. No, I'm not drunken. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, she said. It's not wine. It's a problem. My heart is heavy. 1 Samuel 1:15. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I'm pouring out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid to be a daughter of Belial. I do no such thing. You know, but out of the abundance of my complaint and my grief have I spoken before the Lord. Ah, my goodness. I love that story. You know, look, when whatever it is against you, come to the Lord. Don't worry about anybody else. Pour your heart out to the Lord. He'll hear you. And the Lord heard her. Now, of course, this man, the priest, you know, he recognized it right away and then spoke a word. Said, go in peace, sir. And the God of Israel granted that petition that you have asked of him. That's it. That's all she needed. And as soon as she heard that word, she got up, went her way, and her countenance was no more sad. There was something in the way that Eli said it that just brought some comfort to her. And she said, well, you know, there you have it. You know, and she just rose up and, you know, she was encouraged. And I want to speak certain words to you today that I pray will be an encouragement to you in your situation. And when the Lord turned that situation around, she said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted now in the Lord, for my mouth is now enlarged over my enemies. In the second chapter of Samuel, she said that, because I rejoice in thy salvation. And she gave this wonderful psalm that we sing till this day. There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so proudly exceedingly, he said. She said, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. You know, our enemy that was, you know, chiding her and making fun of her because she didn't have any children. Let not arrogancy proceed out of your mouth, for the Lord's a God of knowledge, and so on and so forth. And she gave this powerful saying, the barren woman, a born servant, she said. Well, she prophesied for herself, and she did too. You know, the Lord killeth, the Lord maketh alive, bring it down to the grave and bring it up. Lord, make it poor, make it rich, and so on. Raise it up the poor out of the dust and lift it out of the beggar out of the dunghill. And she encouraged herself in the Lord and began to speak things to herself. And of course, after Samuel, she bore many more also. Praise the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the hour has come and we're going to pray. Today, right now, I want to pray. I want to speak the words of the Lord to your heart and to over your situation that may change and that will change your story. We're going to continue this every day for the next couple of days and see what the Lord, if you catch something today, praise the Lord. Come back and give your testimony. If not, keep believing. And maybe next day, maybe the other day, come. The Lord said this today and tomorrow, you know, I work miracles and do signs and wonders. And on the next day, yeah, I'll be perfected. So there's coming miracle and deliverance and blessing for you through these 3 days. One way or another, you are going to get your blessing before this consecration is over. You've got to believe it, put your mind to it, because that's what the Lord said. And as we believe God together, well, the Lord is going to do something. Praise God. There's a moment I'm just waiting for, looking for that light now, and then I'm going to pray. He's coming. Praise God. Yeah, there it is, you know. And today, the Lord said, I'm working miracles for you. Glory to God. And tomorrow also, I'll work miracles for you. And on the third day, there will be perfection. You're going to walk away, you know, with rejoicing and blessing. And I want to read this and then I'm going to pray for you. Praise the Lord. I see the moment is here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Luke chapter 13 and verse 32. The Lord said, go tell that fox. Well, I want to tell that devil too. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So I am ready to tell that devil. Are you ready also with me to tell that devil? That's right. Go tell that fox. Behold, I cast out devils. And I do cures today and tomorrow and at the third day. Hallelujah. It perfected. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm ready. Are you? Praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord. Bible says to your say to the people, you know, go through and go through. Hallelujah. Say through to the people also, behold, thy God cometh. He will come and he will save you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I say to that fox, that old devil, a dragon and that serpent that have pummeled and buffeted God's people and put up roadblocks and mountains and barriers and gates and different things. Well, I said, you know, the Lord, according to Psalm 107, he has already done it. Said the Lord has broken the gates of brass. He has cut in pieces the bars of iron. I've done it already. And I speak in the name of the Lord that some things that must be broken today. Not tomorrow, but today. And I speak to some bars that must be cut asunder today. Hallelujah. God the Lord said, today I do these cures, and tomorrow I do some more. And on the third day, at the end of this convocation, your praises will be perfected. Hallelujah. And testimonies will abound. Now, for every gate and every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God in your life, the Bible says, casting down imaginations, pulling down strongholds. And everything that the devil said, you can't get through. I'm going to block your way. I'll put up these gates. You can't get through. I'm going to jam you in, put you behind bars. Hear the word of the Lord to that fox. And all those kind of devils that pit themselves against the children of the Lord. And for you who are the children of the Lord, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord says, arise and shine. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Praise the Lord. It is time for you to arise, and it is time for you to shine. Glory to God. Well, you know, you say, well, how can I shine when there's all these things? Well, the Lord said, you know, I am he that will cause the breaking of those gates and the cutting asunder of those bars so that you may break through. Hallelujah. There may be gross darkness on the earth and all around you, but the Lord shall arise upon you, he said, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, against every gate, you know, Jesus called it the gates of hell. Well, against all those gates of hell, and against the bars, where Satan said, I got you behind bars. The Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to open the gates, set the captives free, cause the prisoners to have a day of liberation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, but you must step forward in faith. And as you believe the Lord, we're going to see the opening of the Red Sea. Glory to God. Every mountain and every hill shall be brought low. And even the valley where you think you are, and the Lord has forsaken you, so I'm going to change that situation. I'm the Lord that sees you. The Lord always sees you. He'll never forget you. Even the nursing mother may forget, because they may be weary at times. They just can't do it. But the Lord said, I will never forget you nor forsake you. Now, I say unto everyone that is hearing my voice, either directly now or through the replay later, but especially directly now, I say that there is something in the voice of the Lord when you're spoken by faith. Well, we're told that the angels, they're waiting, hearkening to that voice. They do those commandments. Therefore, I speak the word of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, it says, speak the word only. Glory to God. Well, I speak what the Lord has already spoken. It says, sing, go ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Hallelujah. Now, your situation may be specific to you. It may not be anything in particular that I have spoken about today, but it is something anyway. Whatever it is, ranging from physical, material, spiritual, what have you, It might be health situation. It might be something that doctors said against you. It might be a situation where you felt all alone. You're looking to God for something. I declare and decree that this will be the opening of the gates for you that you may go through and possess your possessions. Even as it is written in the book of Obadiah, verse 17, it says, upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and upon Mount Zion shall be holiness. Well, we have come to heavenly Mount Zion, ladies and gentlemen. This is that Mount Zion. You can think of it as that. This is that. Because the scripture says it to us as well. You know, we got a place where we are now. It's a place called Shiloh. It's a place called Jireh. It's a place called Rapha. It's a place that carries all the attributes of the Lord. It's a place called Royal. You know, the Lord is your shepherd. A place called Shammah. The Lord is there with you. You know, wherever you are, that's where the Lord is. Praise God. And there is a place where we are now, that's also called Zion, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. We are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, not the physical one, but we are now in that place. So upon the places of Mount Zion, the name that shall be written upon them shall be called Shiloh. The name that shall be written upon them shall be called Jireh. The name that shall be written upon them shall be called Shammah. You know, all the attributes of the Lord will be there. Hallelujah. Said the Lord will be there in that day. Glory to God. You know, and it will be a day such as, you know, well, it will not be dark. It will not be, you know, even at night, it will be light. For at even time, there shall be light. A place called Jireh for you, a place called Shiloh for you, a place called, you know, Shammah, a place called Sikenu, the Lord of your righteousness, a place called Rapha, the Lord your healer, a place called Nisi, the Lord your banner, and on and on and on. That's the new name of heavenly Mount Zion. And Obadiah says, when you are in that place, you will experience recovery. Hallelujah. You will experience deliverance. Hallelujah. For in Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire. The house of Joseph shall be like a flame. Shall kindle the devil. House of Esau, burn it, hallelujah, devour them until you know, vanquish, take no prisoners, vanquish the devil completely. Praise the Lord. The Lord will bruise Satan under your feet in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what the scripture says, you know, according to Romans 16 and verse 20. God shall bruise Satan under your feet. The name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now I command healing, virtues, the life also of Jesus to flow through your mortal flesh in the name of Jesus. The word of Lord also says to everyone that the devil and the doctors and whatever said, well, you know, you don't have enough white blood cells. You don't have enough this or enough that. Well, you know, here's what the Lord says to you. A little one, glory to God, shall be 1,000. And a small one shall become a strong nation, according to the words of Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 21. For I, the Lord, have hastened it in my time, saith the Lord. The little that you have in the hands of the Lord is enough. The doctor said it's not. Well, it is. Jesus said, bring it to me. It's enough. He took it, he blessed it, put it back in the hands of the disciples, and he fed thousands with something that was not even enough for two people. Hallelujah. That's what he does. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we give the Lord the praise and give the Lord the glory for all the victory that has been spoken over you today. Now, you walk in that victory. You claim it for yourself. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.